Chapter 172. When Dorian finishes outlining his plan for setting Krem up, and bless them, Cole and Llewellyn tried so hard, but they weren't getting anywhere. The two of them look at him, then at each other, and then raise their hands in unison. "Yes, the cute one with the darling nose," Dorian says, leaning his hip against the table. "And bless them, truly, they both look at each other and wait for the other one to speak." "Cole," Llewellyn says, when their deadlock gets a little too long, and Bull is laughing at him from across the room. "And really, shouldn't Bull be the one organizing this instead of Dorian? Krem is his lieutenant, after all." "I don't actually have a question," Cole says. "I just raised my hand because that's what you told me to do when people ask you if you have questions."
"No, that's only for Solas, Cole," Llewellyn replies, then raises her hand again.
"Yes, the cute one with the darling nose and is an elf," Dorian says.
"What's an Orlesian tickler? And is it made of feathers?"
Which has nothing at all to do with anything that came out of Dorian's mouth. Dorian just stares over her head at Bull, who rolls to his feet, walking over like he hasn't been mocking Dorian from afar this entire time, and rests a hand on Llewellyn's shoulder.
"I'll tell you when I think the Seeker and the other half of this castle that'd kill me, if they knew I told you, isn't in earshot," Bull says, and Llewellyn and Cole nod at each other.
"Any questions pertinent to our plan?" Dorian continues. And this time, neither of them raise their hands. "Good. We shall commence whenever Krem gets back from doing whatever it is he does, when he isn't in his corner drinking and pretending not to be obvious." Question: why does Solas look a good 3 seconds from bursting out into either uncontrollable laughter, tears, dancing, yelling, or maybe even passive-aggressive sleeping, which I did not know was possible until I came to the land of the barbarians? Llewellyn rolls her eyes and raises her voice so she can be heard above the din of battles.
"You aren't even religious, Haren!"
Dorian looks to what looks to be a worn statue of an elf, and the way Llewellyn is scraping her boot on it. "Isn't that sacrilege for your people?" Dorian asks, because he's pretty sure if he tried scraping dung, muck, and viscera off his own boot on a statue of Andraste, he'd be hung, drawn, and quartered, set on fire, and scattered to the winds before he could even blink.
"Desperate times, Dorian. I am sure that if Algernon were here, right this very second, he would forgive me for scraping internal organs off my boot with a small corner of his statue. It's not like I'm using his face."
"No, you were just using his face as a blunt instrument," Solas says, apparently having recovered from witnessing this act of defilement, though his face is looking rather red. Llewellyn just stares at him.
"I am sure that Algernon, God of Vengeance, wouldn't mind me using his face as a makeshift weapon in order to defend myself."
Llewellyn then looks at the bottom of her boot.
"I'll make prayer later, when we aren't in the middle of a battlefield. I don't even know why you are mad. You don't believe."
"I'm not mad," Solas says, and Dorian cocks an eyebrow because, well, he is rather red in ways that can't be explained by sunburn. "No, you're just disapproving, which is why you had to leave and walk around for 5 minutes to calm yourself," Dorian says. Solas shoots Dorian an annoyed look. Dorian smiles. He lives to annoy. It makes one wonder what she does to statues of Fenharel, doesn't it? Dorian asks.
"I pet them on the nose and call them good boys," Llewellyn replies.
Solas chokes, and Dorian gives him a look, and then slaps his back a couple of times.
Patience is a learned skill, one that is practiced, and therefore expounded upon through time and work. But the fruit of it pays off. Bull catches Llewellyn on the 7th lap, literally holding out one hand and grabbing at the right moment, 3 and 2 half-fingers moving to gather her up as he curls his arm around her waist. He feels the light stutter of her breath, and she turns to smile at him.
"Hello,"
she says, and air mists in front of her nose and mouth like she's a Hala herself. Bull feels his lip twitch up. "Hello." Bull holds her, and she seems content to be held, hung like this in midair, legs dangling, body half bent, half curled around his arm. Bull shifts his weight and feels snow shifting with him. "Early morning run?" Bull asks, and Llewellyn nods after a moment, as if she was considering the plausible deniability of that statement.
"Sure,"
she says, and Bull puts her down. They both watch as her feet disappear into the snow.
"You are awake," she says. "Why?"
"You're also awake, but I'm not asking why."
"You did when you asked if I was on an early morning run. You aren't running."
"No, I'm catching," Bull replies, and Llewellyn seems to be considering this.
"And if I were not running, what would you be doing?"
"Dunno. You weren't not running."
"Tomorrow, if I do not run, will we find out?"
"Maybe." Llewellyn nods, as if they've made a promise. Maybe they have, and turns to walk into Haven's gates. Patience is a learned skill. Reading Llewellyn might be another. Weeks of hard riding is barely enough to get her to Skyhold and Healers in time. Dorian and Solas look exhausted, having taken turns keeping her stable, and Bull looks no better, having been the one to carry her and keep her steady on the mounts. Liliana is at the gates, already knowing as she directs Skyhold surgeons on taking the Inquisitor for treatment. Vivienne shoves bottles of lyrium potions into Solas and Dorian's shaking hands. "Infection," Solas gasps out. "Infection in one of her closed wounds. Cut open and cauterized, but only as a temporary measure. The infection is still strong and spreading. Fever and difficulty breathing. Unable to stay conscious. Blood loss." In a display of camaraderie that would have made Llewellyn beam if she could see it, Vivienne allows the other two mages to sag against her, taking their weight as she guides them somewhere to sit and rest. Blackwell and Cullen take the horses and stag, Cullen clapping a hand to Bull's arm. Bull shakes his head and wearily goes off to the rooms he and the chargers use. Llewellyn is as limp and unaware of all of this as a discarded rag doll.